Airstrikes and artillery fire have intensified sharply in across Sudan's capital, where the army has sought to defend key bases from its paramilitary rivals. The bombardment and clashes could be heard in the south of Khartoum. Heavy shelling we're hearing across the River Nile was also reported. The conflict between the military and the rapid support forces is now going into its second month. It's displaced so far over 700,000 people and forced thousands of others to flee into neighboring countries. Those who've remained in the capital are struggling to survive because food supplies have dwindled since fighting broke out and health services are on the brink of collapse. Well, six South Africans are reportedly still trapped in war-torn Sudan. According to aid organization Gift of the Givers, the three people who are trying to return home are in the country along with three others who wish to stay in Sudan. Let's get the view now of Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman, who is founder of the Gift of the Givers. A very good evening to you, Dr. Suleiman. Firstly, can you please confirm details around these six South Africans who are said to be stuck still in Sudan, and who wants to come back or who wants to get out and who doesn't?
Good evening, Tabikele. Yes, there are six South Africans in Sudan. Three have opted to stay. Two of them work on a mine. I've been in touch with them regularly, even up to yesterday. And they said, look, they'll still stay there. The owners have asked them to stay. And if it gets more difficult, they will get out. The owner will make arrangements for them to leave. They say where they are, there's no fighting in that area. The other person is caught up in Khartoum, and that person is scared to move around. He's got no documents, was robbed. His car was taken away by RSF. His phones were taken away. He doesn't have much finance, but he's too scared to move around. So, you know, the other two on the farm have spoken to him, but he's still insisting that he would not like to stay, but he's got no choice. He's too scared to move out of Khartoum.
How are you able to make contact with him, Doctor? How are you speaking to this man?
Well, I'm not speaking to the man in Khartoum. I'm speaking to the man on the farm who is the contact for all the other people.
Uh-huh.
It's easier to speak because he's got a Sudanese number and he can make contact inside. Sometimes I speak to them directly and they can't speak to each other. And sometimes they speak to each other and I can't speak to them. It just depends on how the network works and how you get through. So you keep trying each other, but the latest communication from the two wanted to say the third one also does not want to move, but they're in touch with each other. Then in the process, when we arranged our third bus, we didn't realize it was a South African who arranged for a British national and a Nigerian national to leave with us. And only at the later stage, I realized it was a South African that made that arrangement. A few days ago, and that South African said he's not leaving. And a few days ago, we get a message to say that urgently he had to leave the farm for the Kenyan national. The farm was invaded. It was looted. The South African and the Kenyan were beaten up. Their phones were taken away. All the documents were taken away. And they rushed out to an area which is fairly safe. And then the owner of the company which they work for made arrangements for them to get to Port Sudan. They're on their way there or they're already tonight. In the meantime, there was another South African who got, this is the fourth South African and a Kenyan national that works with him. The fourth South African got there. He also initially said he's not going out. And then I asked him why. And he said it's impossible logistically from where he is to get out because of the fighting. Eventually he managed to get out. It took him a long time. He got to Port Sudan and he's been stuck there from last week Sunday. Everything has changed, you know, and he was battling to get out. Documents were not getting signed in Port Sudan itself. And then there wasn't a ferry available. And then when there was a flight, but the cards couldn't pay inside Port Sudan. He had lots of issues. Eventually, I made arrangements for his ticket to be bought in Jeddah. We sent somebody to a travel agent in Jeddah to pay for it. He managed to get out last night. He got into Jeddah. And he said the whole attitude has changed. You know, he had somebody minding over him all the time. He couldn't move around. It was not safe. The documents that he had was of no value anymore. And apparently, the Saudis have now said the evacuation process is over. So that's a bit of a challenge for the two South Africans who want to come out still. This man has landed in Addis, and he should be landing in South Africa tomorrow morning.
Okay. So all those who want to return will be able to get back to South Africa. Is that correct?
No, that's the problem now. Because apparently, the rules changed yesterday. And all the documents that were working initially that were fine, we take, let's, well, let me explain you the process. If they got no passport or no document, they send us a copy of the document of the passport. We send it to our consulate in Jeddah, and we send it to consular services in Pretoria. They then send a paper to say that this is a South African citizen, this is his passport number, the South African government approves him and confirms that this is a South African citizen, please allow him to go through. Then they have to go to Port Sudan to a hotel where a Saudi the representative is supposed to stamp those papers. And this last week, that other man was with Port Sudan, waited 3 to 4 days for the paper to be stamped. They only work for 3 to 4 hours a day. Once you have the paper stamped, you then have to get a ferry. If there's no ferry or the ferry is full, you have to wait till another one comes. Or you have to get onto the flight. And to get to the flight, you have to pay, but the cards don't work. And you don't have cash, you can't buy tickets. So all these kind of challenges have come. And now we learned of a new challenge. The man eventually got the flight because we bought the ticket for him in Jeddah. He gets to the airport in Jeddah and the welcome is not like what it was before. You are treated differently, you're watched, you can't move around anywhere, there's a guard around you all the time, and if you don't have a ticket to fly out of the country, you are in serious trouble. Mm-hmm. So my fear, the two South Africans left behind him, a lady that's coming somewhere from deep in the rural area, and this other South African with a Kenyan who was, you know, attacked on the farm, they don't have those documents, and they're already starting to have a problem. It's something we have tried to solve with our embassy, our consulate, and the Saudi government, and somebody in Port Sudan, otherwise they're going to get stuck there. And anybody else, you know, inside in Sudan now, it's going to be very, very difficult to get them out.
Just to be clear, Dr. Suleiman, are you saying they're not receiving any consular support at this stage?
No, they're getting consular support.
Ah, okay.
But suddenly the consular documents are not being approved anymore. They're not being accepted. It seemed to have changed last night or this morning. I don't know why, what caused that. So I have to. It's too late to talk to them now, because I already got information a short while ago to say that he had our documents. I spoke to the guy who got out of Port Sudan last night, and he just spoke to me a short while ago, and he said everything has changed. All the documents he had were not working. He called to Jeddah, the documents were not working. The documents couldn't allow him to fly out, but eventually at the last minute, they allowed him to get on the plane. So I asked the people behind you. He said he thinks they're going to have a lot of trouble.
What are the conditions then where these three are currently? Are they even livable? Because I remember 2 weeks ago, people were saying, even if you're trying to just make the journey, for example, from Khartoum to Port Sudan or any other crossing, prices had doubled, tripled, or even quadrupled because there was such a demand from people who wanted to get out. And even when you arrive, you don't know what conditions you're going to be arriving to.
Well, fortunately, the South African and the Kenyan that left the farm, the owner of the farm made arrangements for them to travel to Port Sudan. And this other lady, you know, who's battling, the South African from the farm, his name is Marius, he's been exceptionally good. He's there for a long time, he's got good connections, and he was prepared to make arrangements for the lady to come from that area called Khadaref to come towards Port Sudan. And the South African and the Kenyan national, he was prepared to make arrangements for them to move from a place called Medina to Port Sudan. But the owner of the company said he'll arrange that. And I have lost contact with the lady. Do you want to speak to the lady? But they all should be in Port Sudan now. The big challenge in Port Sudan is there is no accommodation. The area is flooded with people. There's thousands of people. And accommodation is a serious challenge in Port Sudan. The next challenge is to get the ferry. And if the ferry is available and you don't have consular support from your government, and you know, now even with consular support, it seems to be a challenge. And even the flights are a problem. So we're going to face a new hurdle trying to get these two South Africans out. And even the Kenyan has helped me, asked me for assistance. Through our consulate, I connected him to the Kenyan government. And last night, I got called by a Cameroonian, and who said he also needs consular support. And again, through our consular services, we've connected him to his government. I mean, these are just some examples of non-South African nationals who are completely caught up, don't know what to do, don't know how to get out. And there's thousands of these kind of people around the border and all over the country. Mm. The fighting is intense. Difficult to get water, to get food. The challenges are huge for poor people in that country.
And is the announcement late last week of an agreement signed in Jeddah in Saudi Arabia, where basically there would be efforts made by the Rapid Support Forces and the military to allow for the humanitarian movement of goods and people. Is that holding?
Well, people, they haven't really attacked anybody, even from the first day. You know, the people who attacked the South African people on the farm are not soldiers. And some even from the message it said some of them were even foreign nationals, you know, because everybody's desperate now. They didn't kill anybody. Nobody, I don't think anybody has been killed from what I know in terms of looting or attack. People are just desperate. They go into the shops and they take whatever they want. They take cars, they take money, they take goods, whatever they can find. And even from all our buses that left and information we got and from the bus company we spoke to, no bus was attacked. You know, no people were attacked. No soldiers, no checkpoint attacked anybody. Some of the South Africans told me in the beginning, when they were moving from different areas of Khartoum to get the bus, the first two buses, some of them had to pay some money to some of the soldiers of different groups to get out of there, but nobody harmed them. So I don't think there is any attack on people wanting to get out.
Right.
The problem is they can't get out. That's the problem.
Thank you very much for that gift of the givers, founder Imtiaz Suleiman. Thank you so much for speaking to us tonight, Doctor.